I was born to be a dwelling place, a home for the presence of the Lord, and to let my life now be separated unto thee, that I might be what I was born to be.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, that's our heart's desire tonight, Lord. A dwelling place. To think, what a thought, Lord, that You could dwell in us, Lord, that we could actually be the place. We could be the heavenly place that You dwell in, Lord, that You're seated, Lord, in us, that heavenly place. My, what a thought, Lord, and to be separated unto You, Lord. Lord, so that when we come in contact with other people, Lord, they're truly coming in contact with You, Lord. They're coming in contact with thoughts above any man in front of them's thoughts, Lord, any church's thoughts, anything, Lord, but yet a way that they can transform their life, Father, to change, Lord, to see what You want to do to happen to them, Lord, and to happen to us, Lord. Lord, we commit the service into Your hands, Lord. I just pray that we would just get our money's worth tonight, Lord, that we would just rest in Your presence, Lord, and feast at Your table, Lord, even in the presence of our enemies, Lord, that would try to come and distract us tonight, Lord, to make us tired. Lord, we just, each one of us, claim, Lord, what You have for us tonight, Lord. We've cleared the decks, Lord. We ask, Father, that You would fill us, Lord, with what You have for us, Lord. May we not go away confused, Lord. May we not go away concerned, Father, of many things but You, Lord. But may we just come, Lord, with our eyes opened, Lord, to the Word, our eyes of understanding, and go with our hearts burning. We thank You now. In Jesus Christ's name, we'll give You the praise and glory and honor. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless each one of you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Wow. Every time I'm in the house of the Lord, it's just, it feels so good. Amen. This is where I belong. And yes, we are the house of the Lord. We know that. But it's something so wonderful that I was just talking to someone about this yesterday of how I know a captain in the Army. And you go to Camp Ripley, and comparing this to the house of the Lord is, when we've been invited up to Camp Ripley, thank you, musicians. I really appreciate your sacrifice to bring the presence of the Lord here. As long as all you worshipers, each of us has our part to play. But being up at Camp Ripley, as Derek, I'm sure, just experienced being down at what fort was it or camp? Fort Moore, and tell me if you felt this too, where it's almost imperceptible, but there's a peace that comes being there. And of course, we were there for multiple days. Captain Tom was so generous to make it this that with our co-op to set us up so we could just spend the night at the visitors' quarters at Camp Ripley, and we've done it twice now. And there's just, you know, woods, and there's actually, you can use campgrounds there. And what's wonderful is, in order to get in, you have to go through the gate. And there's a guard there, and he's not playing around at all. I mean, he's very serious. And you get this sense of safety akin to the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and are safe. And I was just witnessing to Tom about that. And we know that, of course, that's even more because that's the inner keep of the castle is the strong tower within the center of the walls, a walled keep within the keep. And so it's just wonderful to know that we are in that place of just fellowship and like-minded security, yes, and you just even being amongst each other and just to be able to relax and rest and not, Captain Tom was saying how that it's just you don't have to think about any variables going to happen or anything going to go on, any unrest or anything. There's just a place of rest and peace. So we can just enjoy that tonight, that we're here. We're not here to fight or be better than each other or to try to be something other than what God wants us to be and to be set at his table. How's everyone tonight? Everybody good? Praise God. Everybody identifying with their flesh tonight, or are we going to identify with our souls tonight? Amen. Are we going to take stock of how our body's feeling only and then just, you know, dwell on that the whole service, or are we going to sit in the realms of our soul and say, praise the Lord, we've got something wonderful coming for us that we will look back on for eternity and say, that was for me that Wednesday night. Amen. Let's fly. Amen. I'm just, speaking of which, I've just been enjoying what the Lord's been saying the last few weeks, Words with Wings and the Women of the Bible and what Brother Jesse's been preaching on, and just Brother Greg as well. It's the ministry, the fortified pastures of just different themes, all giving us that nourishment, that whole picture for what God wants for us. These are the things that the Lord wants for us. And I think that we can be, just think about this, when something comes over the pulpit, a theme, say that's what the Lord wants for us. He has it for us. It's not too high to leap over. I remember so many times sitting in church and thinking Zoe, like, oh my goodness, I don't even understand that. How can God have that for me? Or, wow, he says I can do that? Timothy, I don't think I can do that. Maybe when I'm 55 or 60. But God has it for us because we have ears to listen. So God has something for us today. It's not for tomorrow. So we're excited about that. I just want to take a thought to refresh us, to give us deeper direction, to also give us a little bit maybe more understanding, or just to reemphasize to us seeking and knowing God's will for our lives. And I know that there's young people here that are trying to, they're wanting to find God's will. This is the cornerstone of their ventures. Elisha's going, is in the army. We've got young brothers asking for prayer. What should I do for ways to provide for my house? There's young ladies, I'm sure, saying, Lord, what do you want for me next? Do I go to college? Lord, you have someone for me to marry. What do you want me to do? I'm waiting. And yet, what is God's will? I remember having that feeling. And then for us, I remember talking to my dad. About 4 or 5 months before he passed, and he was saying, "I'm just seeking God's will," I'm kind of grumpy about it because I don't have anything on my plate that I feel he wants me to do, and it's upsetting me. And so I think that's a thing we should all have, is in some ways, is to be a little ornery if we don't know yet God's will in a righteous way, not ornery, but to be able to say, Lord, I'm waiting for your will, and I want that. I'm not going to just sit there and be laissez-faire on the couch. I want your will. I want to know what's next. I have... I don't know the direct quote, but there's something where Brother Bram talks about, I don't know where the Lord is leading me next to go preach. I have like 7 different places that are pulling me, but one of them is the Lord. And so for us grown-ups too, where we say, okay, I already have a spouse, I already have a direction, or I'm single, but I know what God has me doing, but what specifically today... or in this season, does God have me doing something? And that's important because when we know what God has for us, we have rest. And we know that there's something wonderful that God has for us. tonight, because we know the wonderful scripture that gets quoted so much because it gives us rest is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. It didn't say you know the plans, but he knows the plans. And to give us an expected end, we have our expectations not in a biased plan, but that we are looking to him that has an expectation for us, and it will not be cut off. Let's just stand for a scripture reading this evening. You have your Bibles. Forgive me. I'm gonna just confess. I don't have my Bible. I have my tablet today, so I'm gonna try not to go ahead of you. So please forgive me. Okay. Let's just go to Philippians 2. This is such a good chapter, and this is one of my favorite verses of all time. Growing up, young people read, understand, and let Philippians chapter 2 get baked in your heart, because it is, as well as the rest of the word, but this is a really good one to get just started. Philippians 2. Does anyone have a heading what it says that this is about, chapter 2? Zoe, do you have, what does it say at the top of Philippians 2? What the subject is? Christ is magnified through Paul. Yes. And what's neat about that too is Christ is, that means he is being like Christ. That it's not just Paul is magnified. No, it's Christ is made. Christ is large in Paul. How many wants Christ to be large? Amen. In each one of us? To be able to say at the end of the day, wow, Christ was large in me. Praise God. That's my desire. All right. We are going to read verse 1 and 2. But first, we're going to go with, that's the context. We're going to go to verse 12. Because we need power to do his will. And then we'll go back and read. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God. Let's read verse 13 together. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's just ask the Lord's blessings again. Heavenly Father, come in your almighty power to both will and do of your good pleasure tonight. We're here to please you, Lord. We're here to know your nature, your glory, your essence, your kingdom come, thy will be done in us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. And we'll go right back to verse 1, where Zoe was. And this is where it comes from. I love how he pulls. And I hadn't seen this before, Brother Don. I've always just seen especially verse 13, God is giving you power to will and to do. Praise God, what a rest. It's not, I really want to do as well. I did it. No, it's God has given us, he did it, yes. And all we did was take his power and choose his will. Watchman Nee talks about how, this just gave me one of those head shakes, when he said that there was God's will and then there was Jesus' will. There was two wills. And I'd say, what? He was God. But he said there was two wills. He says this. Although the Lord Jesus' desire and the Father's desire were two different wills that issued from two different channels, we see that our dear Lord's will and the wills will of the Father never contradicted each other. And in the and what he's saying in there too is he says he had to choose to lay down his will. If he only had, there was only one will, and that was God's will. And we know, overarching, that was the story of Jesus because he's our example of what it looks like. And that's why we have to go to him, because it can be confusing. But to think that in his human body, just like God gives us power, he gave Jesus power from the Father to lay aside and say, not my will, because I want this cup to pass for me. I don't want to suffer this death. I'm already dripping drops of blood. I'm already so stressed that I'm bleeding blood out of my forehead. I'm sweating blood. And I know there's times where we're very stressed. And it's that unrest of, if God asks me to do something, and that will inside of us is saying, no, I don't want to do that. That must not be his will, because he fashions the clay, right? So then he would just make me bent to his will. No, there has to be that to lay aside that which seems impossible, to lay down our own will and to say, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I love how Watchman Nee says this. He had said, every time we come to a crossroad, the best thing for us to do is hold an unbiased heart. This means a heart is balanced. We neither prefer or hate a particular way. We take whatever the Lord shows us. And you could say, well, but I have desires. I have a desire to take care of my family. I have these practical things that I want to do. In the wilderness, day three. Lord, we've been without water for 3 days. We had probably a little reserve. It's been 3 days. Maybe a child is taking long naps. We're getting really concerned that, because that's signs of dehydration. Or my sister was, Timothy was at Valley Fair, the roller coaster ride place, and we're standing in line for a ride. And it's really hot in July. And all of a sudden, we're almost, after about half an hour waiting for the high roller, we're almost to the place where you get on the roller coaster. And she says, I can't see. I can't see. And we're like, well, you can't see. And she's like, I can't see. And we're like, let's get out of the line. What's going on? And we get her out of the line. And she'd been saying she was thirsty. So we pull her out of the line. And we bring her back down. We get her some water. And I'm leading Esther. And she's just, and she's led like she's blind. And I'm thinking, what in the world is wrong? And she was so dehydrated, it was making her temporarily blind. And within a few minutes of having water, her sight came back, and she's doing great. She was actually up last weekend, so it was a wonderful time. And so we see these concerns and these scenarios lay it out in our minds, just like they did in the wilderness, of dehydration and saying, I need to be responsible for my family. If I don't provide for my family, I'm worse than an infidel. How could I be unbiased when I come to the will of the Lord for our lives? I mean, this is for the adults, the parents, we have these things that we need to do. And so what we have to do is, when it comes in that circle of decision for that moment, we don't put those factors in that decision. We say, Lord, your word is true. Your ways are higher than my ways. And we can put in there the laws of the Lord. Have you ever had a law of the Lord as a factor to give you rest in a decision? David said, unless thy law had been my delights, I would have perished in my affliction. So here they are in the wilderness in affliction. And David, in his affliction, was able to say, there's some bad things going on. I am very afflicted, but you will not leave the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. So to be able to say this in the wilderness, a verse to say, you said you were going to take us into a land you would show us. That means all of us. And put that law, that promise in the circle. And to say, I want this. Because even if we try to go find water, we're going to die anyways. So if we complain about it, we're just wasting the humidity of our body by talking more. I have this problem of being loquacious, Derek. You know, he nods his head, that I can be so loquacious that I actually have to drink water, a lot of water. And I'm getting thirsty now, but I do have three bottles, so they're small. But to know that these things are real, but to be able to say, what's the use of complaining? God is in control. God's will be done. Let's go back to Philippians 2, and let's read the first two verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then he goes into what we should do. So he's saying it needs to come from these things. It needs to come from consolation in Christ. That moment, just like getting in here and saying, oh, good. I'm so consoled. I'm so comforted in Christ. And we know the children of Israel in the wilderness, they were comforted by leeks and garlics. And remember the days, Peter. Remember the good old days. Oh, I'm so consolated. I'm so comforted. But to say, we have a new consolation beyond the good old days. Let's go. I'm going to go to the Weast on this because it's so good. In view of the fact that there is a certain ground of appeal in Christ, which exhorts, since there is a certain tender persuasion that comes from divine love. We're tenderly persuaded by his divine love to do his will. It's this, there's times where I did not want to stop on the side of the road for the David, and it was like, no, it was a man, he has his hazards on, he's fine. Off I go, Timothy. And there's times where there's no unction in me, but then there's some times where it was like, Stephen, I need you to stop now. And it's this tender persuasion that we have. This is, what are we talking about? The will of God. It's this tender persuasion that we have in us. If we have a tender persuasion, a ground of appeal in Christ, which exhorts, it's exhorting us, do it, Stephen, that comes from divine love. In view of the fact that there is a certain partnership on the part of the Spirit, in which the Spirit gives us aid in living our Christian life. I'm going to read that last part again. In view of the fact that there is a certain partnership on the part of the Spirit, in which the Spirit gives us aid in living our Christian life. So we see that he's aiding us. If I would have thought nothing, and I'm like, Lord, to do your will, and there's someone on the side road, Lord, I'm ready to stop. Because I've stopped so many times, and they're like, not only did I have people flying around me to stop, but also the guy had to get out of his car during flying around traffic, and then he comes up to my car, and he's like, I'm good. And I had that happen so many times that I said, Lord, okay, I want to do your will. Just like Jesus stepping over, he could say, well, I'm going to step over all these lame people and all these people with troubles to pray for the one man at the Pool of Siloam. But he only did what the Father showed him. And so we see that this isn't a real understanding on the ground, boots on the ground, is that there's times where the Lord will put his tender, loving mercies in our hearts to say, I need to talk to Nate. I need to call him right now. Somehow God has put him on my heart. And it's that beautiful, tender persuasion that comes from divine love. So this is where it stems from. He says, predicated by if these things are. And then he goes into, fulfill my joy by thinking the same thing. Have the same mind. Do the same thing. His bowels were moved with compassion. By having the same divine self-sacrificial love. Being in heart agreement. Thinking the one thing. This is what that mind that is doing God's will looks like. So, again, this is why I say Philippians 2 is so good. It just walk in that pasture of that walking path of Philippians 2 until there's a clear path every time you come and say, oh, I know where this tree is and this. It's all there. Because he's giving us aid for our Christian life. Being in heart agreement, thinking the one thing, doing nothing impelled by a spirit of factiousness, nothing motivated by empty pride, but in lowliness of mind, consider one another as excelling themselves. This estimation resting not upon feelings nor sentiment, but upon a due consideration of facts. Not in consulting one's own in each own interest. I'm going to say that again, sorry. Not consulting each one his own interests only, but also each one the interests of others. Let this mind be constantly having in you. This mind which is also in Christ Jesus. I think that this bears us thinking on this a little bit because there's such a trilemma, I feel like, in balance. Because we've heard for many years, what will God let you do? Well, whatever you want to. We all can make a choice. And so we say, well, I don't want to do that. I only want to do his will. So then what I've done is growing up hearing that all my life, not only by the ministers here and Brother Don, but growing up in other churches, is that means I'm only going to pray to do the will of God and nothing else. And that's not what the scripture means, because it means that we actually have to get up in the morning and use the bathroom, and it means that we have to eat breakfast, and it means that we have to provide for our families, and it means that we have to do all the non-spiritual things that are actually practical and functional. And I grew up literally thinking so many times is, I can't do anything unless God shows me. Because I wanted to serve God so much that I wanted to do nothing unless he showed me. And so we have over here, I can do whatever I want. Oh, God's not going to strike me dead? Well, it must be his will. That must be what he wants me to do. Oh, I only want to do the will of the Lord. Like Brother Don citing the young man that was staying with him. And I don't really feel led to go to work today. I feel like to go just to, and it could be even, I'm just feeling so strongly to have prayer time. You know, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I want to pray at least 3 times a day. So there's all these things to do the will of the Lord. And yet, again, these three things is to be able to have not just our desire, our will of what we think he wants. And then our will and his will put together to have a quasi, we both get what we want which means nobody does because they both fail. But to be able to say, I desire to do your will, God. And have, as Josh and I were talking about Ephesians 6, and having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. What? We have to do something? Yes. So this is the balance. This is the balance of the will of the Lord, is having done all we know to do, walking in everything that he has for us to do his will. What does that mean? Because this is, I want to dwell on this a little bit, just because for the young people, if there's any young people that have felt a little bit like me, where it's like, I need to know the will of the Lord. Jonah was swallowed by a fish. I don't want to be swallowed by a fish for going the wrong way. I mean, sometimes I want to do what I want to do, but is that really, I don't know sometimes if it's I'm going to Nineveh, I want, or if it's it just, I like, just like Brother Brown liked to shoot guns. Maybe that's okay. Maybe God made me that way because he wanted me to be accurate right on the word. Because remember how Brother Brown was so saying, Lord, he thought it was not righteous for him to get so upset that he couldn't hit the bullseye, that he was crying, that he was so upset. And the Lord said, I made you that way. So that's such a dilemma, because we could hear a nutshell line, God doesn't need your talent. God doesn't need anything that you bring to the table. And yet he's saying God made him that way. And he had him shooting guns from when he was like 8 years old. And he was allowing that physical thing to show him how he was going to be so precise, lined up, dead bullseye, driving attack at 50 yards, how many times, on the word every single time. And he let him, made him that way in the natural, to show him how he was in the spiritual. And so it's this holistic approach, is that we are in a body, and we have a spirit, and we have a soul, and that these things can all align up. We don't just say, I am not a body, I'm just the soul. And yet, if we say, I'm just the body, and the Lord will figure out the soul part, then it's not in order. Because we know that verse on balance, beloved, I would that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. It's got to have function and the prosperity of soul in order to have the whole prosperity of in body and in spirit. Can we say amen to that? We have to prosper in those things. Does that make sense? Is this all right tonight? Okay, praise God. Because if we read when the disciples said, teach us to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what was the next thing he said? Our daily bread. And you say, oh, no, that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about just spiritual food. And my son, here's a stone for you. It'll be fine. It's all spiritual. I'm just leaning the other way just for a minute to be able to say that it does mean, give us, if you look up every, that specific word he meant is that it was a physical bread. And we know that there's a spiritual application as well. But that we look to him saying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I am, every day we pray, Lord, provide piano tunings. And the kids will pray, Lord, provide piano tunings for dad. And to be able to say, Lord, it comes from you. And just such a testimony. I'll pray, and within an hour and a half, I have two people contact me. And I think, it is the Lord. Or he'll give me a thought, you're going to that town, right next to it is another person. He's doing that. I know he is. And then it'll be, And this is, again, his will for daily bread. There's so-and-so in that town. Text that person too. Okay, I text that person. Stephen, I was just thinking about how I needed to have my piano tuned. Who gave them that thought? The Lord did. Because they could have been saying, no, not now. And maybe that could be the Lord too. And maybe it was like, maybe Stephen, I want you to go through a wilderness right now. I want you to say like Paul, I've learned to abound and to be abased. Maybe that's God's will too. But to be able to say, having done all, stand. Even if it's day three in the desert, stand. Oh, praise God. We know John 5:19, I do nothing lest the Father shows me. And I think about that pinnacle of that bride. And this is, again, we're in that process, saints. We're going there. We're on our way to that bride speak. I'm not doing anything until he shows me. I'm keeping silent. Like Brother Don has just shared, what the Lord shared so many times, of just as a husband, as a father, especially as a father, as Lord, show me what to speak and not to speak, when to speak, not to speak. And that's what that is. In a maturity of that process, to be able to say, Lord, it is your will. I'm waiting in this, there's a modern word about that keeping us in that perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, and quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Because they call it in the there's a few words for it. It's you need to be in your alpha state before you make your lists of your goals, right, Peter? You don't want to be in a negative, fearful state before you decide what you want to do for the day. And they're just explaining what the word's already explained, is that when Satan wants us to get up in the morning, you got so much to do today. Because he says, if I can get Sister Karen to think about everything that she needs to do and just get her focused on just what needs to be done only, then maybe she won't see the will of the Lord for her life. And she's got to be responsible. She's got to do these things. And it's like Brother Branham said, how he couldn't get the fire started. So he gets up in the morning. It's winter. There's a breeze draft coming in the door. There's a little snow. I need to get this fire going. Light it up. Wind came down, blew out the fire. How many remember that story? Goes to light it again. Wind blew it out again, Noah. And he kept hearing, did you remember to pray? Did you remember to put God first? You could say, Brother Branham, you're doing the right thing. Your children are getting cold. You got to get the fire going. This is not a spiritual thing. This is get the fire going. But he'd done everything, and it was failing, kept failing. The first thing he did in the morning, and he said right there on the floor, he knelt, and he said, Lord, I forgot to put you first today. I acknowledge I need you. I need you in all my ways. I need you to get this fire going. And he just prayed and said, Lord, please, Lord, I acknowledge I need you in all my ways today. Please direct my paths. And he tried again, and that time it started. The draw went up the flue. And you'll say, we need to wake up. First thing is to be able to say, Lord, I acknowledge I need to get in the right headspace. I need to get in heavenly places. I need to get in the joy of the Lord for my strength. I pray this every morning as I'm driving into work. It's like, Lord, please take full control and authority of me for the glory of God. And fill me up the joy of the Lord for my strength. Show me what you want to do today. And I know it's our heart's cry. And now Satan wants to come, and he's such a dirty devil. And he wants to consume us and try to get us to think, take something that's so near and dear to us and so makes us so tender-hearted, as in just starting a fire, to get our keep our children warm, and you got to do that first. You got to, and to be able to say, one thing is needful. I have to put the Lord first. Otherwise, 87 decisions later, I'll be like, how did I get here? And so to be able to say, I acknowledge you, Lord, I need you, and to take that little slice of time. And what Satan has told me is like, well, if you don't take an hour and a half, you're not spiritual. So you don't have an hour and a half. So don't take any time at all. Rather than saying, oh my goodness, somehow I overslept, I can still get on my knees and say, Lord, I need you today. I acknowledge that. Please direct my paths. And then pray without ceasing all the way to work and all the rest of the day. Is that we're acknowledging him and centering our mind on Christ. Praise God. Who's leading us? This is from adoption. Now here's where maybe people might think that I'm rude or trying to disregard brethren. I'm not. God be my judge. I'm not. I'm only trying to point out something that is the truth. See, we have chosen leaders of men instead of having leadings of the Holy Spirit. We have wanted men to allot out our part and to lead us. Denominations, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Church of Christ, all these different churches, to set an organization as an example, and we follow that. Nowhere in the Bible are we to do such as that. There isn't one text of Scripture in all of God's Bible where he ever organized the church or whether he spoke of an organization. Not one place in the Bible. It's always contrary to it. He doesn't want us to be fashioned like the things of the world. He wants us peculiar, set aside. And for us to, we're in such an age, you all see it. We all have those regrettable moments where we walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalms chapter 1, we know, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Because the first thing he says is, I want to show you a blessed person in Christ. They're walking in the counsel of the godly. We need godly counsel. How many times, young people, Seth, when you're reading about the different, like Josiah, he was 8, remember, when he became king? And you're like, oh my goodness, that must have been amazing. And it said there was all these counselors around him. You need to do this, you need to do that. And you kept hearing these stories in the Bible where it was like, when he had bad counselors, what are they saying? My will. I have an idea for you, king. This is what we need to do. And because some of them walked in the counsel of these men, and you can see it, and you know what's going to happen. You're like, no, don't do it. It just means you're to rule in the whole nation, the whole house of Israel. And they're like, oh, that's a great idea. And you're like, don't. That's the wrong will. That's not what to do. We already know the end of the story. And they did it anyways, and you're like, oh, no, here it goes. Which king in the neighborhood is going to put him into bondage? And then all of a sudden, here they go into slavery. And you say, how could that be? And yet each one of us, each one of our families is a kingdom, is a home. And we say, as for me and my house, as for me and the Carlin kingdom, Christ's kingdom, shall serve the Lord. It's not as for me and my house, we will serve coffee and entertainment and all these other things, and that's what we do all the time. That's all the only thing we care about. Just quality time with our family. No, we will serve the Lord. That's the first, that's the acknowledging in the beginning. And everything is under that umbrella. What moves we make, what things we allow in our home, what movies we watch. Are we able to say, Lord, we're going to watch this movie, Lord. Just open up our eyes to see you in this movie. Click. Are we able to do that? And you can say, well, you got to take a break sometimes, but not from Jesus. Because we have to be able to acknowledge him in all of our ways. On Friday nights, on Wednesday nights. To know his will. Praise God. I don't mean now to be silly, as we call it. I mean to be a called out people. Oh, a blessed holy nation, living lives that's above reproach, acting, behaving ourselves just like he would, working in us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. To think that each one of us can be like Paul, Zoe, how God was made large through him. To think that is what it is. And you could say, but I'm just this age, or I don't know much of the Bible. It's God, through Brother Branham said, in God and Simplicity, how God uses faith, simplicity, I'm missing the third one, to work his works. Faith, humility, and simplicity to work his works. You can believe God, be humble, and be simple. You can do the will of God. It's very simple. Just look to him every day and say, Lord, I want to do your will. I remember one time being Timothy's age, and I see a man in front of me, and he's buying cigarettes. And I felt that tender move of the Lord tell him, you need to tell him, you don't have to smoke those cigarettes. And I'd never felt that before in my life. And I didn't respond. I was like, I'm almost a teen. I can't say that to him. He's going to yell at me. And it was just on. It wasn't just, oh, he shouldn't be smoking cigarettes. Shame on you. It was, oh, I feel Jesus inside me saying he loves that man and he doesn't want him to smoke anymore. We're compelled by the love of God. And we say, well, there's the love. We're not going to get into this too much because the hour's late, but there's the general will of God for everyone to be born again. There's so many things in the scripture, and yet there's also that will, like I just told you, of where God wants for you and you, each one of us today, where he's saying, Peter, there's that employee that you have. Ask her, how's her day going? And you're like, I don't need to ask her. I already saw her in a meeting, two meetings today. Why do I need to ask her how she's doing? And you just can't get away from it. It's that tender love of God, those tender mercies, the bowels of compassion, being led of the Spirit to do his will. And you'll know, because to think even our prophet who saw visions said, remember he was walking in the woods and the Lord told him to do something. He said, you know, is that just me? So he's like, okay, all right, step back. And you know the will of the Lord. Is that just me? Or Lord, is that you? I think it was after he went to pray for the baby, and then he spent time in just prayer, asking forgiveness, and the Lord told him to do something. And I think it was speaking to squirrels, perhaps, and he's like, no, is that just me? Is that just my thought? Am I just grabbing a thought? Because it says, take no thought. So sometimes we can just snatch a thought, like, that's the will of God. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. Watchman Nee talks about, he says, when you're faced at that junction of two choices, and he says, there's a choice that you love, and there's a choice that you hate. To be able to say, if the will of God is to do the choice that you hate, well, what is the point in knowing the will of God? Because you're like, I hate that. I'm going to be like Jonah and be like, I'm going to Nineveh. Like, let's get out of here. But he could have been before that, like, okay, Lord, I'm here to know your will. Oh, I'm ready. But, okay, I want you to do this. Lord, I'm not ready. Right? Because his heart was already somewhere that it shouldn't have been. He didn't actually let go of self because of all his pre-programming. How many chats around the watering hole did they say, oh, those Ninevites, I know. It's crazy what they're doing. I'm never going there. And then, okay, Lord, I want to do your will. Go there. What? Maybe they were just talking about it the day before, Christian. They're like, mark my words. I'm never going there. You watch me. I'll never go there. The next day, go there. Oh, man, what if he sees me and I'm going? Like, where are you going, Jonah? Oh, yeah, excuse me. Tarshish. Thanks for lifting up my arms and my feeble knees. it's Tarshish. I was the test for the young people to see if they're paying attention. Be able to say, I'm going in the opposite direction. Why are you going that way? Well, because I don't want to do what God told me to do. Here he's a prophet. And he's like, I don't want to do the will of God. And I love how Watchman Nee was talking about that, is that he's like, we have to remove, we can still have the desires of our heart. Again, to do his will, to take care of our families, to not give our child a stone, give him bread, all these things that are righteous. But then, Lord, my slate is clean. I need to go to work to provide for my family, or I'm worse than an infidel. I need to take care of my children as a keeper of the home. I need to do all these things. And yet, Lord, I acknowledge you. What do you want me to do today? Interrupt my day. Because this is your day, actually. Let's just start that over again. And to be able to say, Lord, I seek to do your will. Incline my heart. And he can fix our hearts too, can't he? The times when we're like, I don't even want to pray that. How many has ever been that place before? Like, I'm afraid to pray for his will to be done. And I've been there so many times where you sing, I surrender all. I surrender. Because you just realize what you were saying, right? It was, because all of a sudden, that cue of, oh, that movie I wanted to watch, the sequel's coming. I have to use the bathroom, right? It's this, oh, no, I don't want to do, I know his will is best, but it must not be, because I really feel like it isn't. And be able to say, sometimes the best way to know his will is best, unfortunately, is the way of the transgressor is hard. And I'm living proof of that. My feet would run to do evil. I would be like, hey, I have a great idea. I know exactly what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go to work. Back in the days with Sister Rachel Hoffman at Caribou, and work the bare minimum hours. And then I'm going to go home and play video games till 11 o'clock at night. And I should probably grab some Doritos and M&Ms on the way home so I could eat that till 11 o'clock at night. And you'd say, well, that sounds actually kind of good. Because now I was a 12-year-old in an 18-year-old's body that was saying, now I have a car and I have money to do all of my 12-year-old ideas. This is great. And then the next day you're like, oh, man, I got to be at work in 7 minutes. Or otherwise, Rachel's going to be mad at me. And fly out the door and probably with a couple leftover M&Ms in my teeth. That was my best idea at 18 years old of a good time. So you do that long enough and you're like, wow, I don't really trust my ideas. It's not really working out very good for me. So then you have another idea and you're like, oh, I feel this. Oh, this is different. And then you think, let's just replay the last 2 years. No, alone. I remember I would play sometimes video games so long, I could hear the noises outside of my door just slowly fading away. Vacuuming stopped. Everybody went to bed. Oh, man, I do have to go to work in 4 hours. You know what? If I can get tired enough and then all of a sudden, regret, regret, regret. And so then you realize, like someone said, he's been better to you than you've been to yourself. And when we realize that, we say, when he says, will you do this? And like, absolutely, I'm full of bad ideas. So I'll take your good idea. I surrender all. I literally surrender all, because there's a lot of bad ideas in me. As we know, the scripture says, the heart is desperately wicked and tricky, deceitful above all things. Wow, what a way to start. To be like, follow your heart. Yay, that's a great idea. That's what I do. I follow my head all the time. But to be able to say no, that's what's tricking us, is that's our starting point. No, we need to follow the will of God, because he's full of tender mercies for us. He's full of compassion. He wants the best for us. He's thinking about us. He's interceding on our behalf. He's wanting us to walk with him, even when we don't understand. Praise God. Musicians, could you come and play that song, Only to Be What He Wants Me to Be? Every moment of every day. Well, that means we can't have fun anymore, because God isn't fun. He just wants to do things that I don't like to do. That's what I thought when I was a teenager sometimes. And I was like, but I know that's not true, but I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it looks like to just completely surrender. And so I was in unrest and unrest and unrest. And yet, when I said, Lord, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm just going to surrender all. I'm just going to surrender all. I surrender. I don't know what it looks like. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow or yesterday. I'm going to surrender today. Whatever your will is, I surrender. And immediately I had perfect rest. I had perfect peace. That place of like, oh, I'm just in your will. Whatever you say, I surrender. I say yes. It's just as easy as just saying yes and saying, Lord, I'm clearing out all my biases, all my inclinations, all the things that I really have affections towards. I'm just going to pick you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, I just feel so blessed, Lord, to see each face, Lord, eager to hear your word. Lord, that it's to see each face that it's resonating, Lord, what you're saying. Lord, and we know it's the foolishness of preaching, Father, but we just thank you, Lord, that you did it this way, Father, so that you could unpack yourself to us, your will, your word. Lord, and it's so simple, Lord, we can just say yes to you. So, Lord, we want to make a decision today, Lord, because you've given us power by your Spirit. Lord, and if we're not born again, if there's anyone here tonight that's not born again by the Spirit, if they're that law of that old nature is just pulling them down again and again and again. In Romans 7, that wretched man, they want to have that Romans 8 freedom from that wretched man and that law of sin that pulls them down. You can choose tonight. Say, Lord, I just take that old wretched man out of me, that old will out of me, and thy will be done, Lord. And do you, I want to walk with you. I don't know what it looks like. It's scary. Or for us more adult people, Lord, where we have junctions and choices in our lives, Father, and or maybe we've let down the bars a bit, Lord, and some old affections and old wills have come back, Lord. We've listened to the oldies again. We've, whatever that is, if it's old movies or music or whatever it is, Lord, and somehow it's a little harder to say yes to you again. Even though we're ultimately saying yes every day, Lord, and but there's that war happening every day, Lord, for your will, Lord, to be done. And we thank you for Christ, our example, Lord, that laid down his will, sweating drops of blood, Lord, and going to the cross. What love you showed to us on the cross, Lord, to lay down your life so that we could be truly born again and have your Holy Ghost power to will and to do through us. Please, Father, take each one tonight, Lord. Lord, give them power to make the decision now to say, yes, I surrender all. And for others, Lord, that say, Lord, I want to just renew my vows to you, Lord, to say yes again. I'm lifting my hands, Lord, to say I surrender all, Lord, again. Lord, I take all my wants, all my desires afresh, Lord. Lord, purge me from secret sins, Lord. Everything if there's anything down deep secretly in my heart that's saying, this will be done. Lord, take it away, Lord. Remove all fear, Lord, from our lives, Father. Give us rest. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. We just commit each one into your hands now. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Do we have a number for that song? 454. We just all stand, only to be what he wants me to be. Only to be what he wants me to be. Every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone. Every step of this pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hand, ready to do his word commands, only to be what he wants me to be. Every moment of every day. Amen. Is your heart at rest tonight? All's well? Amen. Philip, would you just come and close us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have brought forward tonight, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that is my prayer, that we be able to put you first in all things, Lord. And Lord, may we be able to walk with discerning eyes, Lord. Lord, may it become not second nature, but our primary nature, Lord, just to be just dialed into you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, to gather together, Lord. May we continue to internalize and think on these things, Lord, as we go home tonight, Lord. Also, we ask for safe travels, Lord, as we go our ways. Lord, may we just take the name of Jesus with us, Lord. To each dark corner, Lord, may we be each bright lights, Lord. Be beacons for others to know you through us, Lord Jesus. Yes, may you be big in us.
Yes, oh God.
No, I just thank you for all this and ask for your continued mercies and blessing, Lord. But I ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.